Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, February 17th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 90, the third paragraph. Sometimes it is wise to wait, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Maria F., who will be reading the 12 steps, Shelley E., reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Kara L., Sandy W., and Shannon M. The share ID for Sunday, February 16th, the special edition, is 14,127. That's 14127. And for this morning's February 17th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 14,129. That's 14129. Our newcomer greeter for today is Mary B., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Maria F. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning. My name is Maria F., recovered compulsive overeater from Dublin in Ireland, and this morning in Scottsdale, Arizona. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And thank you for allowing me to do service.
Thank you so much, Maria F. And Shelley E., if you would read the 12 traditions, please.
Sure will. Good morning, Kathleen. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater from Texas. And here are the 12 traditions. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. excuse me. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Excuse me. Thank you for letting me do service at iPad.
Thank you, Shelley E. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 90, the third paragraph that begins with "Sometimes it is wise to wait," and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. So good morning, Kara L., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning, Kathleen and my fellows. This is Kara L., Long Beach, California, but coming to you today from Scottsdale, Arizona. Sometimes it is wise to wait until he goes on a binge. The family may object to this, but unless he is in a dangerous physical condition, it is better to risk it. Don't deal with him when he is very drunk, unless he is ugly and the family needs your help. Wait for the end of the spree, or at least for a lucid interval. Then let his family or friend ask him if he wants to quit for good, and if he would go to any extremes to do so. If he says yes, then his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. You should be described to him as one of a fellowship who, as a part of their own recovery, try to help others, and who will still be glad to talk to him if he cares to see you. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater, Long Beach, California. I love how this chapter that we're in right now really gives us directions how to work with newcomers, how to work with those, how to take them through the steps. It's really, this book is filled with clear-cut directions. And I like the questions that are here. And I have to remind myself when people come to me, are you done for good? Do you want to quit for good? Would you go to any extreme to do so? That's the person that's ready, right? That's the person that I really want to dig into the Big Book with, and I really want to work with. And I work with them to keep my own sanity, to keep my own connection with a higher power. When we're in fellowship together, when we're working with another in the Big Book together, that's my path to being connected to my higher power. And I like how it is described, you should be described to him as one of a fellowship who is a part of their own recovery. Try to help others. As a part of my own recovery, it's right there. I need to be working with others. And his attention should be drawn to you as a person who has recovered. I think, Back then for the drunks when they were so desolate and they were so down and there was no answer. And he's just come out of a drunk or she's just come out of a drinking spree and they're so down and they're ready. And there's light, there's hope, there's a solution. You know, and to have somebody come to you and to be privileged enough to read the big book with them. That's a gift. And I'm just so thankful for our fellowship. I'm so thankful and grateful that I was in that place and ready to listen to a recovered person and ready to read this big book and work it to the best of my ability with another. So I look forward to all the shares today. Thank you all. Have a wonderful day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Kara L. Okay, we're on page 90, the third paragraph. Sometimes it is wise to wait. And who would like to share on this paragraph?
Freya H.
Freya H.
Roz G.
M. Barbara
Roz,
E.
Roz G. Barbara E.
Shelley C. R.
Courtney M.
Who came in after Shelley C. R.?
Courtney M.
Courtney M.
Shlomi Hana B.
Shlomi Hana B. Okay, let's stop there. So I have Freda H., Roz G., Barbara E., Shelley C.R., Courtney M., and Shlomi Hana B. I know I always botch your name up, but okay, go ahead, Freda H.
Good morning. It's Freya. That's F-R-E-Y-A.
Freya.
Thank you,
Freya.
You. In Colorado. Recovered compulsive eater and bulimic. I listened to the earlier meeting, at least part of it, and got so much out of this paragraph, so I wanted to share some thoughts. And it reminds me of my own experience about knowing about Overeaters Anonymous for years and years and years. But until I was really ready, I wasn't going to come. So I can see from my own experience, oh, if someone had tried to talk to me, which they did, I wasn't ready until I was ready. So that helps me feel, you know, to trust other people's process. They're not going to be ready until they're ready. But when I went through this paragraph, or when I went through this chapter with my sponsor, she said, notice all the if. Notice how many times it says if in here. And this is a paragraph which is full of ifs. I have at least, you know, three or four of them. And that's a reminder for me that that this is all, you know, that I need to keep on checking in with my higher power if I want to help somebody, you know, that the if means that it's conditional, you know, that it's, there isn't any rule. It depends what's going on. So that I can keep on checking in with my higher power and getting that direction. And as I was listening to other people sharing about this, one of the things that really came to mind, which applies to sponsees for sure and people in the rooms, but it also applies to other people in my life, other relationships, is that it's just uncomfortable to watch people suffer. And I don't like it. And especially if I think I have a solution for them, man, I want to share that solution. And so what this is telling me is that that other people need to go through their own process if they want to find the solution. And something that helps me to find peace is to really trust that, you know, that this for whatever reason came into my life and the 12 steps have worked for me and that's been my solution, but I don't know what's right for other people and I don't know when, you know, I don't know the timing and I don't know the method that God is going to help them. And so that helps me to let go. And, you know, sometimes I think the other thing that's really important, the direction in here that says, you know, that you ask him if he wants to quit for good and if he would go to any extreme to do so. I think in the past I've been so eager to help newcomers to the rooms that I haven't asked them that. And I've been like, okay, come on, let's get started without really being clear that they're really not done or they're really not interested in what I have to offer. And it becomes clear pretty quickly that when I say, okay, you know, let's go through the doctor's opinion. What does that mean? And they don't call me back. It's like, oh, maybe they weren't ready. So I'm so grateful that I get to be doing this and that through carrying the message, I really get the message myself. It's such an amazing program. Thank you for the opportunity to share. I will pass.
Thank you, Freya H. That was perfect timing. Okay, Roz G., you're up next, followed by Barbara E.
Good morning. My name is Roz G., and I thank God that I am a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm in Palmdale, California, on a day off from work. And this is not a BS program at all. There's no BS here. Although, I BS'd a lot. A lot. Trying to look good, trying to not be a part of, just wanting to lose weight. I had to go through massive amounts of pain until I could finally see that I belong and that I am one of many in the realm of real compulsive overeaters. And, you know, my character defects as a member of the relationship program, the Al-Anon program, is me of wanting to fix other people. Me being a recovering know-it-all and knowing what you need, what I can tell you to make it all better, when I don't even know what I need to do for myself. So what this paragraph says for me is that it's good for someone to hurt some more. Well, it says it in another one. Sometimes he has to get hurt some more. And it's not easy to allow people to go, you know, to let them go, to drop them if needed, to fold my hands and wait. It's not easy to do that. It's a big ego thing. It's humility to say they have a higher power and it's not me. So when that person is down and out, on their knees, ready to say, help me, is when the time is ripe. And that's my own experience because, you know, just coming into the rooms to want to lose weight was not it. Yeah, I didn't really understand that I was a real compulsive overeater. I just thought, I'm fat. I don't like this. I can't afford the diets. This is a dollar. I can come in here and listen to a bunch of people, you know. But no, 15 years later, I finally realized that I'm a real compulsive overeater. And that it is a blessing of this, of the blessing of desperation. And I can say today I'm recovered for this day only, and that I understand where you've been. Well, not everybody, but especially those who have over-exercised, you know, the exercise bulimics, I really understand them. And that I can offer some help. And that's it. I'm not the superwoman with the cape. It's not me. But I thank God that this book tells us that. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Roz G. You guys are right on target on this time this morning. Okay, Barbara E., you're up next, followed by Shelley C.R. Go ahead, Barbara.
Thank you so much. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Oh, great, great. Well, I'm never on time for anything. Even my own funeral, I think I'll be late for. So please do time me. I'm anal retentive. I've actually counted. There are 51 ifs in this chapter, working with others. If the person is ready, if the person is finally convinced, if you feel you can be helpful, if. It's all about being ready to work with the person, not being a stalker. You don't want to. If they're not interested, Barbara, just give up. There'll be someone else. And I think the importance for me, at least, is describing myself as a person who has recovered and is a member of a fellowship who tries to help others. And I think to myself as I go back, because I've been doing this now since 1996, would it have been helpful for me to hear, just keep coming to meetings, don't eat even if your fanny falls off, get a sponsor and do what she tells you. It's a wonderful time to come to a place. It doesn't cost any money. I came to unload all the stresses of my life. Those messages would not have encouraged a person like me to get with the program. This big book is clear, at least to me, that we should be portrayed as people who used to have the same addiction as they have. We understand their agony. We understand their pain. We've gone to all the bottoms they've gone to. We've even found the trap door in the final bottom that we've managed to fall through. The idea is that the suffering compulsive overeater, it would be doing me a favor by listening to me is very important. And perhaps he or she can relate to me and we can work together in harmony to create a better life. And I will be learning more from that person and getting more from that person than that person ever could possibly believe they were getting from me. Have a wonderful, wonderful day, everyone. Happy President's Day. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. And you weren't late. That was good. Okay, Shelley C.R., you're up next, followed by Courtney M.
Good morning. This is Shelley C.R., a recovering compulsive overeater from northern Minnesota. And I appreciate being able to be on this meeting right now, and also very grateful that I was in the meeting this morning. And so I've heard so many great shares, and it's been so helpful to me as someone who's newly sponsoring. And, you know, I've struggled with that part about, you know, asking a person. And so I've asked, like, you know, are you willing to go to any length? And the answer, of course, is yes. Well, I shouldn't say of course, but the answer has been yes. Actions have shown otherwise. And I know, like, when I came into this program, was I willing to go to any length? Not fully, not 100%. Was I willing to do the things that my sponsor said? 98% of it, yes, but not 100%. And so that's only been in more recent times. And so I struggle with that piece of, you know, gentleness but firm, and, you know, kind of what are the things that I, like how I sponsor and what that looks like. And so I don't want to be enabling someone to stay in their disease and the illness, and at the same time, you know, I don't want to necessarily kick them to the curb either, but I don't know. Anyway, my point is that this morning has been so helpful to hear, both in the earlier meeting and this meeting now, to hear people's shares and hear them share their experience, strength, and hope. And so I look to, you know, take that all into consideration when moving forward as I talk with my sponsor about how to continue sponsoring. So I'm just very grateful to be here and very grateful for everything that that I get out of these meetings. And with that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley C.R. Okay, Courtney M., it is your turn, and you'll be followed by Shlomi Tana B. Go ahead, Courtney.
Thank you. This is Courtney M., recovered compulsive overeater in Southwest Florida, and that is the first time I've actually used the word recovered with a D on the end of it for myself. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how many times I have ostracized people trying to shove this program down their throat or a program similar to it. How many times I have put the cape on, as somebody else said earlier, and thought that I was going to save the world. And it, so much of that is just a lack of humility, and combined with, I guess, naivete. But I am so grateful for this very gentle reminder in this paragraph that somebody who is ready and willing has to be both, is going to be somebody that we can carry the message to, who's actually hearing the message, because we can say the message as much as we want. But, you know, if they're not hearing it, it's not doing anybody any good. And I have just recently opened up to sponsoring somebody, and I have to keep this paragraph in my mind as I move forward with that, because I can't work the program for my sponsee. But I can be a guide, and I can share what I've experienced and help in that way. For everybody else who I see that is still suffering, that isn't ready and willing yet, I just have to hold back. I just have to let them go through what they have to go through. It's hard, but it's not my place. So with that, I pass.
Thank you, Courtney M. Okay, before we take Shlomi Tana, I just want to remind everyone we're on page 90, the third paragraph, sometimes it is wise to wait, and we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only, and I'll be taking some names after Shlomi Tana, so go ahead, please.
Thank you so much. And
there you are.
And you said my name just fine.
Thank you.
And I'm outside, so hopefully there's not too much noise. So thank you, everybody. Thank you for this service, for your service, moderator. Thank you so much to the timekeeper. Thank you, everybody, for this meeting. This fellowship has just really saved me, especially this meeting. So I was just thinking as I was reading this paragraph about my experience in relapse. You know, it says that perhaps it's better to let the alcoholic go on a binge and, you know, feel that pain. They call it the gift of desperation, and there's a reason why we call it a gift. I know when I was in relapse, I really wanted to be done with the food. I really did. And in fact, I started working the steps with somebody, and they asked, are you done? And I said, yes, because I was trying to convince myself that I was done. I really wanted to be done. But you know what? I wasn't done. I was not done. I had, unfortunately, a few more months of binging and pain to go through, which I don't really wish on anybody. But what happened was I got to a point where I was in so much pain, it was absolutely unbearable. And I knew that if I continued like this, either I was going to end up having a mental breakdown or dead. There was just no doubt in my mind. And I had to get to that point, to a breaking point, where I finally broke. And then God saw that I was broken, and he pulled me out. But I think that based on my own experience, it makes it easier for me to understand about working with sponsees, you know, once I finish getting through the steps and start working with sponsees, that sometimes people have to get to that breaking point. And as people have said on the line, it's not pleasant to watch. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. And, you know, we're helpful people. We want to help. We don't want to see others get hurt. And it's very hard to watch somebody go back to their food because we know that this program works. But, you know, I can say that nobody trying to pull me out was really doing me any favors. That's the truth. I had to go through that experience myself. And as a result of going through that experience,
time, please.
I am much more... Okay, thank you. I'm just much more dedicated to my program now. Thank you.
And thank you, Shlomi Chana. Okay, we're on page 90, the third paragraph. Who else would like to share on this paragraph?
Leo M.
Very creepy.
Okay. I got. Hold on. I got Sherry KB, but a man and a woman came in before her. Who was that?
Joe M.
Joe M. And who was the woman?
Leah S.
And Paula H.
Leah S. Paula H.
Natalie
G. Oh, you guys are coming in over each other. Sorry, I didn't hear them.
Natalie
Abby
G.
Abby S.
Okay, Natalie. What's your initial, Natalie?
G.
G, and it was Abby? Was that Abby I heard?
Abby S.
Okay, did I not hear Abby?
Yeah, I got
okay.
Abby. Yeah, Abby.
Okay, and what's your initial, Abby?
S.
S, and then did I hear a Deborah?
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, let's stop there. All right. So I'm going to start with Sherry KB because she's the first name I actually heard. So Sherry KB, Joe M, Leah S, Paula H, Natalie G, Abby S, and Deborah G. And I don't know if we'll have time for everyone, but go ahead, Sherry KB.
Good morning, Kathleen. Good morning, everybody at Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater. Thanks for keeping our names all together there, Kathleen. Thanks for your service and everybody on the line, and thank you, Team Monday. You know, what really jumps out at me is it says that not to deal with them if they're very, you know, drunk, if they're very loaded on food. And I think you can't talk to the problem about the problem when somebody's, you know, using. It doesn't work. They can't hear it. It's like covering your ears going la, 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 la. Nobody can hear it. And so I do know that I usually step back and wait. And I usually ask people to call me when they've got the food down so that they can actually hear my message. And to me, this is really important here because it talks about that if they have the information that they know that I'm recovered, and it uses the word recovered here, and that my part of my own recovery is to help somebody else, that means that I need you as much as you need me in order for me to stay recovered. And so for me, I think coming across that way, somebody can hear it more than me shouting from a rooftop, that I can help them. It's just I've been there. I understand. I know what it's like. That's what I do when I talk to people is I tell them, I know what you're going through. I've been there, and I will give them examples of things that I've gone through myself, and I know how painful it can be. And I just know that, even if I plant one seed with that person, whether they come back to me and let me work with them or they go to somebody else, at least I've planted a seed. And that they know where I've been, and they know that I'm recovered and that they can have it too. When I was going through the work, I remember being so worried that I wasn't going to get it when I was going through the big book myself with somebody. And I would call people, and they'd say, don't worry, you are going to get it. This will happen. If you follow these directions, Sherry, you will get them. And so that's what I tell other people. If you want this, this is what can happen for you. And I do know that I can't want it more than somebody wants it for themselves. And what's heartbreaking for me is knowing somebody and them calling me back. And, I want to so desperately help them. But if they don't want the help, I can't help them. And again, not to stand in the way, because there are people out there that want the help, and I want to help the people that want it. That's how I feel. And I do pray for people. I absolutely do. With that, I pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Sherry KB. Okay, Joe M., you're up next, followed by Leah S. Go ahead, Joe.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Joe M., a recovering overeater in Cedar Hills, Utah. This paragraph really spoke to me this morning about a couple of things. And I grew up with a swimming pool in my backyard, and we used to jump off the roof of our garage, and we had a great time. And yet there are times in my life now as an overeater in recovery where I'm swimming in the deep end and I really don't know how to swim. I need assistance. And that's what this paragraph to me is speaking of. It's basically interventions, right? And I experienced a self-intervention at the end of 2019 where I said, this is enough. I've hit rock bottom. And so during this share, I want to just express gratitude for the Big Book and for those of you who share on a daily basis. I have missed only a couple of meetings since the 1st of January, and I am amazed at how much strength I am garnering because of people who are recovered, and even those who are in recovery that are participating. Today's President's Day, and I'm grateful for founding fathers and other presidents who have maintained freedoms to even allow us to have this meeting, to give us the choice to call in and to study from the Big Book and to learn from others who are successful. I think for those of us who are in recovery or trying to recover, the hope that comes from listening to others who have walked the path and who have implemented the principles from those who have come before us and know is very illuminating, and more so, it's very hopeful. We know that it's possible. And in my life, until I was 42, my metabolism was high. I played a lot of basketball. And then when I slowed down, my poor eating has led to a lot of negativity in my life. I'm a very positive person, but I'm looking back now and realizing how much it has played a role in a few things in my life that have gone south. So again, a share of gratitude. I'm so grateful to moderators, for those who read, for those who share. And I just want to tell you, you're helping my life to change. Obviously, I have to choose, but knowing that there are others out there across this beautiful country of ours that are successfully maintaining sobriety and abstinence is incredibly hopeful. And for that, I thank you, and I pass.
And thank you, Joe M. Okay, Leah S., you're up next, followed by Paula H.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody. Leah S., recovered in Brooklyn. Very, very grateful. Okay, so most of the time, I didn't exhibit any signs of overeating. And the only way that people knew that I was overeating was because I wanted to be knocked out. I didn't want to deal with it another day. I didn't want to get out of bed because I couldn't deal with the food and all the responsibilities of my life. And so when they say that if the person who wants to recover and the family is saying that this person is willing to go to any lengths, and me as a recovered person, how can I tell this person, are you willing to go to any lengths? Now, this person is in a drunken state, you know, just waking up, and is willing to go to any lengths, but doesn't have an idea. What is it that I can tell him to encourage him to keep that abstinence? And I do say, what is one bag of chips going to do for me if I refrain from having it as compared to how my mouth is working so much overtime during the hours that I am awake? And I'll tell you, if you don't try it, you're never going to know. You're never going to know. And there's so much more out there. And so me, as a recovered person, going back to all those things that used to get me down and identifying with that other person who is trying to get out of it, and telling them, today there are so many resources. There are so many things that you can do. And it doesn't happen all at once. Yeah, it's tough. But how tough is it compared to how tough what you're going through right now? And if that helps, then that helps. But I want to say one more thing. I can't do this without my higher power inspiring me all the time. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Leah S. Okay, we have four people left and not quite 3 minutes for everyone. So if you want to cut your share a little short, we might be able to get to everyone. So go ahead, Paula H., please, and you'll be followed by Natalie G.
Hi, it's Paula H. From Jacksonville, Florida. I am returning past couple of months, returning to line-by-line book study. I came into OA when we just had AA books in another country in 1989. And what I have to report about this paragraph is a lot of gratitude, particularly with a new understanding of how I am understanding the eating disorder or the food issue. It has been explained to me by my sponsor more in the lines of a behavioral obsession, and that has really been an enormous paradigm shift for me, looking at the behavioral obsession. And another thing I wanted to share, which was deeply meaningful to me about returning, my long-distance sponsor out of Texas, when we were working the steps over the phone, and she asked me this question, what I was willing to do, am I done? She says, then get down on your knees, and I will get down on my knees. So this visual of us, her in Houston and me in North Florida, both down on our knees as I turned my will over to my higher power. I will never forget that moment, that intimacy over the phone, and those seeds of positive influence that were planted through my sponsor from God, from my higher power. So I'm very, very grateful for that long distance action that I took, that she took. And one more thing I wanted to share about this paragraph is there's been some discussion about newcomers and what do? Do we feel overwhelmed? Are we being good enough? And as a gardener, I often look at it as how we can be seeds of positive influence. And as a gardener, we have to be patient if we plant those seeds. And sometimes it is a challenge to wait for something to germinate, but we've still planted that seed lovingly and surrounded it with care so that it could press into blossom with our support. So I wanted to thank you all. My first time at this meeting, recommended by my sponsor. I'll pass.
Thank you, Paula H. Good to have you with us. Okay, Natalie G., you're up next, followed by Abby S.
Hi, this is Natalie G. in Southern California, recovered compulsive overeater. And thank you for your service, everyone on the line, and for your shares. This meeting has been so helpful to me. And one of the things that's helpful is I'm starting to think about what it says in the big book, not just what other people are telling me that's helpful, but also doing my own thinking about it. And the title of this chapter is Working with Others. And, you know, when I was in the food, I was like the person they talk about on page 61. You know, I just felt it was my job to tell everybody how to live their life and how they should do things and, you know, what was the best way, according to Natalie. And I struggle with that. I still struggle with that. And my prayers to today and the last couple of days have been, God, please remove me from the bondage of self, meaning I don't have, this self doesn't have any answers for anybody. As someone shared earlier, I hardly have answers for myself. And so this working with others, yes, it means working with other, to me, working with other compulsive overeaters. But also, you know, on page 61, they're talking about what we did in our whole life. This disease affected my whole life, all my relationships. And so working with others, these ifs, these conditionals, you know, if people are ready, you know, if they want what you have, that just if, I pray these days to sort of be like a ninja and just not say anything and be something that people find on their own when they're ready, not just in this program, but in my whole life. You know, I don't have to give my husband my opinion about his ice cream eating. I don't have to give my neighbor my opinion about what he does with his computer. I can be helpful. I can be there. if they want to know what I've done, that's great. But, boy, please save me from that. And thank you so much, everybody. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Natalie G. All right, Abby S., you are up next, followed by Deborah G. Abby S., star one to unmute.
Hi, sorry, I was not unmuted. This is Abby S., recovered compulsive eater from Southern California. I'm really grateful to be on this meeting. Gosh, everything I've heard is so good. It was exactly what I needed to hear today, because what I'm struggling with is a friend that I became friends with when I was in relapse, and we were the sorry sisters together, just like so, just, you know, self-pity about childhood and what, you know, what we've gone through. And since I've been in recovery again and working the steps and had a spiritual awakening, it's harder and harder for me to hang out with this person. And I was with her the other night, and it just, you know, I'm trying to give her advice, and then she just flat out says to me, you know, I don't have time to work the steps. I'm not, like, there's no way I can work the steps right now. And it was like a light bulb went off in my head, and just like felt so defeated and just like, what am I doing, you know? And since then I've kind of been stewing over it, and you know, I did 10 steps on it, and I'll probably have to do more on it today. But what it comes down to is, like, I'm trying to play God. Like, I don't know what she needs. She may need to hit her face a few more times. And, you know, it's just, it's really good to know that I'm not alone in these feelings, and that these happen to other people, this happens to other people too. And, you know, maybe it's just time for me to, you know, be an example, but not surround myself with, like, I don't know how to be friends with someone like that. And so I know this chapter or this section is about sponsees, but it's just, it goes for all relationships in my life. You know, relationships are changing from when I was not recovered to, you know, how I am now. And so just a big difference, and I'm noticing it. It's good to notice the change in myself, though, and yeah, I just continue to pray for her. So thanks for letting me share, and have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, Abby S. Okay, Deborah G., it is your turn. Go ahead, please.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deborah, compulsive overeater. Thank you, Kathleen, everyone that has made this meeting possible. I so much appreciate. I had so many wonderful little nuggets, little gifts today, and I love hearing about them being clean from the food. And then I also love about continue to keep bringing God into it, all the through the steps. And I remember a sponsor she asked me, am I willing to go to any length to have a spiritual experience? And I said yes, and she had me write it in the front, very first page of the big book, I'm willing to go to any length to have a spiritual experience, and then the sign indeed it, so that when I would get, you know, a little stuck, I would go to that, and she allowed me to have the experience myself. It was so cool. Anyways, that's all I have. Much love. Have a beauty day.
Okay. Well, let's see, we have, maybe we'll just stop. We have a minute, but that's crazy. So let's just stop a little early, and we'll have more time for newcomer names and sponsor names. So thank you, everyone, for this really amazing meeting this morning. And a special thanks to Team Monday, Maria F., Shelley E., Kara L., Sandy W., Shannon M., Mary B., and Robin P. And we are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Sandy W., will you please read A Vision for You?
Yes, thank you, Kathleen. Thanks for your service. This is Sandy W., gratefully recovered in Connecticut. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. but obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.